to draw the letters for us. I got a lot of stuff I want to write, but I just don't want to write it. People can't read it anyways. If I leave it up there too long, I won't be able to read it. I'll forget what I wrote. So we have a saying, or somebody coined the saying about Bible analysis. I would write it up there, but I think it would be miserable for you to watch me fumble through that.
Hi there. I enjoy it.
You enjoy that?
I think I would enjoy it.
Why can't we develop whiteboards where I can talk to text?
Smart boards.
They do.
They have those.
They sure do.
Smart boards.
Big ones?
Spend
for them. They're all like computers.
Huh?
Smart boards is a computer.
Smart board.
There, are they big like this?
Yeah.
Really?
Pay up. Just pay up for them.
When's your next business meeting, Springfield?
Yeah. Rangers are unscriptural.
Oh.
Are they?
So, studying the Bible does not allow us to determine the truth. Studying God's Word, rightly dividing Scripture, will allow us to discover the truth. I think all these classes tonight are reminding us that, you know, we need to settle down with our emotions, our intellect, our experience, our education, our attitude, because everything is God's. And just starting off with the attitude that my very existence is because of God. Now, just for a couple of minutes here, we had a brother have an open heart surgery, and his son-in-law that is not in the work, but he believes God, he believes in God, and he's an EMT. And he was pretty chill with this, like, man, you don't even know how many people are running around right now with triple, quadruple bypasses, and they're fine. Pacemakers, defibrillators, there's all kinds of people going. Right this very moment, he says, there's probably 20 guys getting ready for this operation. It's not a big deal. He says, but I just don't understand how anybody can look at a heart and not see God, the way that everything functions. And then they do the angiogram on him, and I don't know. I know Brother Brad had one of these. I don't know if Brother Roger did at all, but he had an extra vein that came out of nowhere because his heart couldn't get enough blood, so it decided to build its own path. Goodness grief. Who are you, man? Because you're nobody without God. You're dead, consumed, you're gone. So we need to have this humble attitude when we approach the Word of God, which is the guide of our life, to tell us the truth of everything that we've ever wanted to know. And we're just not that smart. Not that smart compared to God. So we have to approach God's Word with a proper attitude that I'm here searching for truth. And it's a deliberate endeavor because I want to. And I hit this a lot, and it's, you know, a lot of it's from experience. And we beg of all the preachers, all the church members, get out there and witness. Talk to people. This EMT had a great opportunity to speak to him. It's like he was, you know, running his mouth all morning there before the surgery. And he looks over at me and he says, well, you're not saying a whole lot. I'm like, well, you're an EMT, right, Alex? And he says, yeah. And I said, well, don't you listen to your patient so you know how to treat them? He says, yeah. And I said, that's what I'm doing, just listening to you. I tell you, among this crowd, I can be free to say this because people know who I am. I'm a little bit smart mouth. I get sick and tired of hearing the religion of the world just freely open up their mouth and vomit out their garbage however they want to without a free care in the world, because everybody's just going to back away and say, oh yeah, that's right. And here I am, 5 o'clock in the morning in a hospital waiting on a brother to go into open heart surgery, and I'm pushed up against the wall to say something to a guy that's vomiting out of his mouth a bunch of garbage that he doesn't know anything about. And I was very jealous for the Lord because he was lying to his father-in-law. You guys that are going to be pastors, you better feed the church the truth. And if you're going to feed the church the truth, that means you're going to sacrifice to learn what the truth is and get rid of the trash that's in your mind and what you think and how you feel and just preach the word. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? If God gave you the breath and gave you the heartbeat and saved your life alive, then what's it to you what the world thinks? Get in the word, study it for them and for you, and present it to them. And then when you're out there in the world and somebody wants to vomit out their mouth, you contend for faith. Because Jesus Christ paid a horrible price for you and I. And he didn't just save us from the wrath of God to keep us from hell. But as we've already learned, he wants to be joined together with you in unity, knit for the rest of all of eternity, with you sitting next to his side. I think that's someone to stick up for. I think that's someone to stand up for, no matter what it might cost you. That's a very, very difficult situation that I was in. And trust me, my heart was coming out of my chest. My neck was certainly swollen and my ears were red. I did everything I could to speak without quivering. Okay? You guys have that kind of passion for God's truth? That's a choice you make. Do you love the Lord or do you not? Because you don't have any truth in you. Only God does. Okay. Any comments or questions to that so far? Got that out of the way. I was told one time that not all teaching is preaching, but sometimes it is. Okay. Attitude. Oh, we got a kid over here that already ruined my start. Ezra 7:10. He's always jumping on my cloud. And I got to say, hey, you, get off of my cloud. Sorry, Brother Bo.
Well, if we're going on things we've heard and sayings, preach them in or preach them out.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
It's better to just say it like it is and preach it like it is and let them get offended right up front.
Yeah.
And then deal with that offense and deal with the questions and the conviction and the struggle. And, you read in the scripture where Paul, he spent 3 years in the school of Titius debating daily. He spent 2 years over there. I think it was in Corinth. But you better to just put it all out there on the table with whoever it is, new member, old member, visitor, young convert, whatever person.
Amen.
Possible. And censor, because sooner or later, you're either gonna have to compromise on the truth and hold back, or you're gonna get to it, or you're gonna get to it, and so, and obviously you have why is a servant's harmless as doves, and that's a continual, growth, I guess, and continual process of learning and maturing, I guess, but preach them in or preach them out.
Amen.
I mean, it can't be a decision of if I'm going to preach the truth or if I'm going to hold back.
Amen. Brother Roger.
If you preach the word, they'll tell you you're using too much scripture.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I'm here to tell you, you can't use too much scripture.
Sure.
Because when you quit and you listen to people that you gotta have all kinds of critics.
Yeah.
And suggestions on how you can improve the preaching.
Yeah.
But when you cut down the scripture, when you use illustrations, one verse of scripture, preach a whole palaver for 45 minutes, that's not enough.
Pardon me, do what? Do what for 45 minutes?
Palaver. Elaborate.
What'd you say, palaver?
Right.
Okay.
That
was awesome.
Anyway, I've heard this from our own people.
Yeah.
He uses too much scripture. You use too much scripture. You can't use too much scripture. That's what you're supposed
to do. I think I'm boggled by that.
And I'll tell you frankly, brethren, I'm hearing from some of our preachers in this word who use verse scripture and they'll illustrate. The verse of scripture, they'll give an example. Verse, and all these are worldly and personal experiences. Bible says we're not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus.
Yeah.
And we preach the word, we're preaching Jesus.
Amen.
So cut out all the garbage, get in there and study, and then preach the word.
Sure. Amen.
Best message I ever heard was preached by Brother Fred Shrum. He was in Reefport years ago. For 45 minutes, he read his text, and then he read scripture after scripture after scripture, and he didn't make one comment. And by the time he was done with that message, man, I'll tell you, I was ready to go.
Amen. Did you guys catch that? For 45 minutes, he read Bible. I mean, that's pretty easy. Just write down a bunch of Bible and read them for 45 minutes. You don't have to think of anything to say. You guys got that? Okay. Anyway.
I've said this to a few of them during this room, and I tell you what, I really enjoy the young preachers, and we've had a few come preach at this church. And I'm going with Brother Up. We don't get stories.
Yeah.
These young preachers step in there, they just preach. Amen. They just preach the word.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I appreciate that, because sadly the stories sometimes when teachers and preachers take over after a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Roger started. I appreciate the message.
Amen. Amen. Brother, hold on a second, Brother BJ. Brother Mike, when you stand before the judge and you present a case or an argument, is it based on your opinion?
Not persuasively.
So what's it based on?
The only thing that persuades the court is the law.
Okay, so has anybody during one of those hearings ever said, why you always got to be right, Mike? No, why would they? You guys ever heard that out there talking to somebody and they say something like, hey, you know, everybody's got their own way and the Lord is just looking to make sure that you're seeing Him in your way. Yeah. And then you say, what? Proverbs
16:25.
Or 14. Okay.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But you got to be right about everything, Nate. That's the attitude you get. You got to be right about everything. You got a Bible for everything. Is that all you do? Is this common Bible? Well, when you're lying and making up stories and you're pushing your imagination, right? 2 Corinthians 4 or 10, 4, 5, 6, your imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God. Do you want to be right, or are you contending for what is right? It's the law. I'm not right. Brother Mike isn't right. Brother Roger's not right. You and I are not right, but the law is what's right. That's what we stand on. So you can't let people push you around and give you bad feelings about standing up for what is right. Let them tell you 1,000 times, well, you think you've got to be right about everything? Just ignore it. Just keep feeding the word. Just give them the truth. Brother BJ.
I just wanted to comment on the amount of scripture that's being read.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are new to this church. We belonged to a Baptist church years ago, and then we got away from the church, and then 2 years ago, we started searching for a new church, and just prior to coming to this one, we went to a local Baptist church, just down the road a ways, and they may have, first of all, they had 7 or 8 different versions of the Bible that you could use written up on the wall, mm-hmm. which was my first red flag. I knew I wanted to go someplace that had the King James. Mm-hmm. But they'd read 1 or 2 scriptures at the beginning and then just talk.
Yeah.
And then we came here, and sometimes I put tabs on my Bible so I could keep up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, we flip through a lot of scripture here.
For sure, for sure.
And I know on at least one occasion when we were going out and I was commenting about, you know, man, I'm so glad that you're preaching out of this, mm-hmm. instead of 1 or 2 verses, and then,
yeah, amen.
Bam, it's just opinion and
amen. You know,
like Pastor was saying, it's stories and all that kind of stuff, but there's nothing to back it up.
There you go. Amen. So
to all testimony. The preachers, we love this.
It's testimony. And if you walk it back enough for most of us, if not all of us, that's the reason why any of us are here. And it goes, the 7:10, it's Ezra 7:10 over here. I know it gets read a lot, but it's such a simple formula that we fail to realize even within ourselves. But even as we're working with the New Testament church or working with the world out here, for Ezra had prepared his heart. Have you prepared your heart? Is that your desire? Is that what you have set your affection on, is to seek the law of the Lord? And when you seek the law of the Lord, that is an endeavor. It's a laborious endeavor. You're diligent. You're vigilant. You're making this as a matter of fact and a matter of purpose, because you understand that you want to be a vessel of honor unto the Lord. You want to be his friend. You want to be that bride. Set his heart to know or to seek the law of God, the law of the Lord, and to do it. Right? So we have a purpose now of we're not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word, because we love the Lord, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Going back to not stories, parables, statutes, and judgments. And, you know, I mean, we can go a thousand different directions on this. If you are going to set your heart to seek the law of God and to do it, and then to teach it, it could be lonely days and lonely nights. But who cares? You love the Lord, and the Word of God has an amazing effect on your heart, and you get excited. You know, just watching the news, I've been getting these chills more and more that this is pretty awesome what's going on right now. In the heart and in the spirit, you're full of joy. In the flesh, you're a little timid, like, what is this going to look like for real as it unfolds right before our eyes? Don't get me wrong, I want to be with the Lord yesterday. And that's no joke. I'm suffering a lot of emotional, intellectual stress in this world today. I had a brother explain to me, he went to a sporting goods store where there was a cross-dressing transgender behind the counter with guns. He. Listen, I don't like this world. I hope you don't either. It's not about it anymore. If you're answering that call to preach and you're going to surrender to it, it's not about this world anymore. It's about that flock that God loves and he died for, covered it with his blood, and he wants to marry her. And he says, hey, man, guide her so that she is solid when it comes to that day of judgment. And then if you do that, you'll get a crown too. Right? So it's important that we got to work on our heart. And then when you're dealing with people, do what you can. Right? You compel. But you also got to remember they have to change their heart. And not everybody does.
It's their choice.
It's their choice. It is their choice, brother.
Well, a couple of different things. So, you know, when it comes to preaching of the Word of God, I absolutely 100% agree. Don't get it there. It's not for storytelling thing. But the Bible also says to give a sense. And so don't be afraid to explain what the Bible's saying.
Yep.
That's what our job is.
Yep.
And use the Bible to explain itself, but don't be afraid to elaborate on.
Yeah.
That's what you just did. You
sure.
Read a verse and now you're elaborating.
Sure.
So that's not. I think if we get too far to where we're not doing that, we're not doing our job then either.
Yep.
But we also, when it comes to preaching the word, if you preach like God expects you to preach, and you're doing what this verse says, you prepared your heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. There is a confidence that me can have in the Word of God. When I get up and I present the Word of God like He wants me to, it's not just me being hard-headed that I don't care what somebody thinks about the way that I preach. It's confidence in knowing I did what God told me to do from His Word.
Amen.
But if I'm lazy in my preparation, I'm lazy in my delivery, because a lot of times we get up there, well, I told them, in the most shallow message that you could possibly do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get up and the way that we present something, we might as well go in a concordance and find, you know, every time Jace is practicing doing devotionals. So he did it on center. So he looked up in the concordance and center. And sometimes that's how we give a lesson like that.
Sure.
I told him.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't teach him anything.
Yeah. I think some of the, help me out with this too. In whatever setting, you instruct, you give that sense. If you're doing it the right way, you're going to get questions.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to get interested. It's going to prick something in their heart, and they're going to want to know that more. The focus is always the edifying of the hearer, because that's what you're doing. And to edify the hearer spiritually, you got to know what you're talking about. And that's the dangers. You know, Brother Mike brings up not studying, and that's absolutely... I'm always just going back to the heart. If your heart's not in it, we're going to know that eventually at some point. So make sure that's where you're at. Like, listen, this isn't a game about you coming up with a new doctrine. This isn't a game about you being the favorite flavor of the month. It's not a game about you being called something or have a title. This is, you're going to answer for the souls of the church because Hebrews tells us you will. But it's a joy because God says it's a good thing that a man desires the office of a bishop. All right. So I saw a couple hands, Brother Bo, Brother Jake.
Well, it is the edifying of
Brother
the
Roger. I don't think you have one.
Yeah, you're right. But and so what edifies people? Paul said, "I determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ
and Amen.
Crucified." So you know, if we preach on tithing, great. Preach on tithing because and bring out it's to glorify Christ.
Amen.
If you preach on sin.
That's right.
It ought to glorify Christ.
That's right.
You know, and so the scripture testifies of Christ.
Amen.
That's why we preach the scripture.
Yep.
And that's why certain people that are looking to be edified and looking to have their spiritual man renewed and restored love the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, people enjoy it, and people say, well, we like to hear this. And so the best thing we have that exalts Christ is the scripture.
Amen.
That is the purpose of preaching.
For sure.
Is to shine the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to this world.
Amen.
To the church.
That's the literal spiritual effect. We have no other effect on anybody than the word of God. To help a soul eternally. Brother Roger, then Brother Jake.
No, go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive, because they do me any good to say anything. I feel sorry for myself, poor little me. The point of it is, knock off this business of me and what I've done, my experiences, and illustrate. There's a difference between expounding and illustrating.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
we will. Right.
You got 1 minute?
That was two.
Not now. We're running out of time.
When Nathan went and talked to David, you know, David was in full agreement, amen, amen, until the hour of the man.
Yeah.
So that's what our job is preaching the word, get people to see this applies to you right now.
Amen.
And like what you talked about, the edifying. And so don't shy away from it, because I'll tell you, it's easy. It was easy. It's when I was preaching in Albany, filling in Albany, or coming filling in Springfield, preaching at a youth rally. It's easy to I can preach on all your sin because there's enough of you. I know who maybe it comes to mind or whatever. But when there's 13, and everybody knows all the rest of the 13, and then you have to preach about something.
Yeah,
that's where. You have to have confidence in what the Word of God says.
Put it out there. Yep. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Our master, Lord, Rabbi, our teacher, left us footsteps to follow. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Bible analysis, it's the whole work. It's the whole library. It's the Bible analysis of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And hitting that, whose word is it? Well, it's God's. And how did Jesus use it? as it is written. Don't try to massage it. Don't try to blur it. Don't try to take away from it. And this, you know, let's just put it out there. Sometimes it's unfavorable because it kind of takes my personality and character away from me.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we want God to be glorified. We want the truth to be magnified, not us. And that's where, you know, we got to be careful of the hirelings as opposed to those that are sold out to the Lord. Paul said that he's a prisoner of Christ. So, you know, watch your attitude. It's always about attitudes and the character there. So I printed this in a bright yellow. And that was a good one. All right, Acts 20. It says, declare all the counsel of God. That has to be Acts 20, 27. Yep. That was not a smart move. It's glary, too. Acts chapter 20. Here in verse number 27, Bible says, Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And that's important too, as Brother Jake was bringing out, Brother Roger bringing out, is every doctrine that Christ teaches welcomed by every individual? No. We stomp on toes a lot. I get my toes stomped on all the time. Slow to wrath. And I get mad. See there? I get mad so fast. Even at getting mad, I'm getting mad. Slow to wrath. You know, be kind. Sometimes I'm not. I get tired. I get wore out. There's doctrines that step on my toes. There's doctrines that step on your toes. Paul made sure that he declared the whole counsel of God. Because those doctrines that hurt us, that prick our heart, that cause that conviction, are the ones that we personally need the most at that time. So we yield to it, because what's the idea again? To wash us clean of those things, to be presentable to the Lord. So you got to study this whole thing. And yeah, I mean, it's like not as much nowadays, but don't you still get some chatter about the Old Testament? You know, spend too much time in the Old Testament, talking too much about the Old Testament, and I don't know about all that Old Testament stuff. And like, well, I mean, if your heart was prepared to seek the law of God, you'd realize it's just as important as any of the New Testament, any of the Gospels, any of the epistles. So don't narrow your seeking of God's law in such small windows. Open it up. And especially let the Holy Spirit guide and lead in what He wants the church to hear. And we'll get to it. It's not just for preachers. It's what about, you know, you're studying something and you go to work and this guy opens up his mouth and, you know, you got the loaded gun complex. You're ready to cock it and pull it right now on this doctrine. And this guy's going, what are you talking about? Because you just had to say something about that thing that you studied. Well, that wasn't very edifying. So even as a New Testament church member, broaden your mind and your heart about how you use God's word. Let God be that drive. Just study and let Him pull it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, attitude again. And, you know, I've asked this question to myself. I'm okay with it. At the risk of telling a story, you know, when I'm gone for a while and I come home, my black lab loves me. What else do I need? I'm welcomed at home by licks and wags, right? What do I care? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Are you willing to call yourself these names? Foolish, weak, base, despised? You think you're something? Step away. I mean, are you okay with that? God says, I'm choosing nothing. to show the world something. Because if you think you're something, God can't use you. You're too much in the way of that. You got to be humble.
Not to just say it in a room where everybody's agreed, but you actually have to know it.
Yeah.
Always.
For me. Listen.
It matters.
Isn't there?
Pride wants to rise up.
Isn't there a dread? I mean, God has entrusted you with the word. And we've talked about that. Your lesson there. How does somebody get saved? They're destined for hell. They're condemned already. Doesn't that bother anybody?
Yeah.
Am I going to walk around like a fool, like I think I know something, while these people are dying and going to hell? Because you can't be trying to make a name and trying to be prominent and trying to be smarter than everybody and lead somebody to Christ. Can't do that. So there's a real attitude to this Bible analysis, because you can't approach God's word like that either. You're weak, you're base, you're foolish. I'm foolish, I'm weak, I'm base. I'd be the first to admit I come into this mildly retarded with a narrow linear mind frame that doesn't think very well. And that's the truth. God gives me everything I need to know. And I need to go anywhere else for that. What's going on in the Middle East? Is it Luke 21 over there? Men's hearts failing them. All the stuff going on. We got a meteor that's giving us a second moon or whatever. We got the world blowing up and heating up. We got massive hurricanes, massive destruction. Men's hearts are failing them. The war breaking out in the Middle East. So where do we go? We go into Scripture. What is God telling us about all this stuff? It's all good. Time is running short. So we got to understand we're not the authority on any of this. So it has to be God's word. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, the other hands. Dumb as a box of rocks. Well, at least I'm called a lively stone, so that's kind of cool, right? I can be dumb as a box of rocks. Don't have to be smart. 1 Timothy 3, 5, and 6. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Why would God put that in our Bible for us? Why would God write that letter to Timothy and put those things in there? Not a novice, lest he be lifted up in pride. Maybe because we have a tendency to do those things. Maybe there's a tendency. What's that, brother?
Because it's not about us, it's about the word.
Yeah. But sometimes, listen, I'm not pointing fingers. It's like preaching to a church of 13, I'm preaching a message. Don't be accusing me of pointing you guys out. I'm just saying, this is what the Bible teaches. So it's a warning. And I appreciate, I don't know, it was Brother Daniel, I think you said, we don't know anybody's heart. Mm-hmm. We see some manifestations. If we saw Lot walking around today, we'd be preaching to him the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there ain't no doubt he'd go straight to hell. And then we see him up there, we're like, oh, how'd you get up here? We don't know that, right? I don't know you young preachers. Calling you young preachers. I was a young preacher too at 30-some-odd years old. It felt weird to be called that. That's why I was sticking up for you, Brother Josh. Just helping you out.
Sticking up
for the older. No, he's not.
Sure, don't gaslight him like that.
Well, yeah.
Get that job.
Sure did. Already done.
Galatians chapter 6. I was trying to be coy about all that, you know, and spin it a little bit. But I know we're in a class of truth. Well, part of it is just because I'm mean and ornery.
You are not coy.
Galatians chapter 6 here, verse number 3, Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Some of our favorite verses, right? Romans 12. Just trying to get us into a mind frame, a heart frame here, what the scripture wants us to be. Romans 12 here, verse number 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And why is that important? We go back to Acts 20 again. because it isn't about you or me, and to be quite frank, as even as New Testament church members, in the spirit of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, every part has an effect on every joint, how they use the Holy Spirit as the effectual power within them. So it's not just the pastors. Every single church member shouldn't think too highly of themselves, because they are useful to the other church members within that body. They're needful. Brother Daniel.
Practical terms of what I think about. Don't look for the thank you. Don't look for the good job. Don't look for the attaboy. Look for it. And if somebody gives it, don't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the reason to do it. That's your reason.
Yep.
You're in trouble.
And I'm not going to try to make this snide or make a joke out of it, but I think it's one of the first indicators that you hear verbally coming out of somebody's mouth is when they complain nobody visits them. Yep. Nobody visits me either, because I'm not home. I'm visiting. You know, it's not about me. I don't need to be served. God's done everything for me. Count your blessings. What has Christ not done for you to where you can't go be that servant? So, absolutely. You know, it's you. You have been put in such a privilege and an honor to be in the body of Christ. Go do for somebody, even as a new convert. Go do for somebody and watch yourself grow in the Lord and have such confidence in Him. Verse number 28 here, it's a daunting task. It's fearful at times. Sometimes I shudder at it. I trust God. I don't know why, but I trust Him. My family experienced some of the hardships of me running from the Lord. I'm sure some of you also ran from the Lord or ignored or tried to deny or get away. It's hard. And I think some of that is the realization of what the role of a pastor is. He's got to feed that flock. You got to feed them. You got to be present with them. You've got to know them. You have to be abused by them. That's all good stuff. Listen, I'm not painting a bad picture, but you have got to feed them, because they don't belong to you. They belong to Jesus Christ. And they belong to Him in an espousalship. They're betrothed to Him. So you got to take care of them, right? And He says it right here. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. What do you feed a church with?
Word.
The Word. The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So God didn't call you to be a preacher. I knew a man one time that literally told me, he says, oh, I'm an evangelist. I'm not pastoring. I just go preach. No, that's not biblical. You are called to prepare yourself to be ready to feed this flock. And in that, it's you're consuming too. And you're analyzing and you're rightly dividing. And you're learning the two natures. You got to be able to teach these folks so that they can get closer to God. Because that is the truth. That coming to that knowledge of truth, that is, what is God giving us? He's giving us His mind. How do you adore somebody you don't know? And isn't God showing us everything about Him to cause us to give Him the utmost of adoration, to fall in love, a real spiritual, effectual love for Him with all of your being? Well, you can't do that if you don't know Him very well. So the more you know Him, and the more sincere and real that is when you feed the flock, they will get it. Not everybody. But the flock will get it. Just like over there in 2 Timothy 2, God knows whose are His. Vessels of honor and dishonor. You keep feeding that flock, one day they're going to be up there and they're going to be presented, which is super special. And I can't be crying here, but that one there gets me. To present His bride to His Father. That's, oh man, that is insane. Did I see a hand over here? Yeah.
Well, and to share testimony, there was a significant shift in myself, I remember getting to the point where I loved the Lord's church.
Mm.
And I think the quick answer is that, well, we all love the church.
Mm.
But you should become invested in the Lord's church. And that starts where you're a member of right now.
Yeah.
And you become invested in that church and seeing that church go forward and contributing to that church.
Amen.
And then as you're filling the pulpit and you're traveling around, you're filling the pulpit and you're not the pastor of those churches, but you're filling the pulpit and you're preaching, whether they don't have a pastor or their pastor is gone or sick or whatever, because you care generally about the Lord's churches.
Amen.
And
amen.
This was for me, I can't speak for other young preachers and pastors who, but for me, that wasn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get to that point, and I remember my defensiveness of this church, of the Springfield church. I remember things happening and things being said and like getting defensive, and getting angry of this church.
For
and
sure.
Then, you know, you go to other churches where maybe they don't have a pastor, and you start considering, well, do I love this church? Or do they have a need? And this was said to me, I'm sure it was said to others, but, well, you're always going to see the need, and you're always going to feel like I could help.
Yep.
But that's where then the discernment of, but am I being called here?
Yep.
Yes, the church needs a pastor,
Amen.
But am I being called? But
Amen.
My point is it is essential for a young preacher and a pastor. You have to be invested and love the Lord's church.
Amen.
I think our quick answer is, yeah, we love the church because we've been a member for a long time. Mm-hmm. But that love is part of that calling. And when you are called to a church, God will give you a love for that church that no one else. He doesn't give that to anyone else.
Yep. And at the risk of promoting a class, you're not going to get that love if you're not studying. If you're not letting those words change your heart as you read about how Christ sees his church and how he built his church and what he desires out of her for eternity and what he's given her now, why Christ wants to do that. If you're not focusing on those things and studying and learning what is the purpose of all of this, then you won't have that passion. You won't have that fight, that zeal, that strength, that confidence to push through. I appreciate all of your comments and participation. Any others before we're dismissed tonight? No? Let's stand.